You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, apparently it is time now to make fun of Bill Belichick.
Yes!
Who had? I know you've been waiting hours, Sam.
We turned it off. What was the final?
48-14.
I mean, do you have to kick a man when he's down?
Him? Yes.
Oh, wait, 48 years is their difference, isn't it?
Yes.
24-72?
But she's 24, so they scored twice as many points as she has years.
Says they did. They scored the exact number of points as they are years apart. I love it. Oh, the world is so perfect.
Yeah. I mean, this is how gross this is. If I was Bill Belichick, right, I'm 54 years old. My future girlfriend would currently be six. Six.
Okay, yeah, yes,
when
but
he graduated college, she was still 27 years away from being born.
Let's go back to what this means for football. I think you can lose one, and people will say, well, he's distracted. Remember what happened even last year? The Chiefs would lose one game. We are so spoiled. And everyone would go, well,
Travis
he's
Kelce.
Distracted. He went and did that Saturday Night Live.
Taylor Swift.
And that was nothing compared to this.
Right.
He loses in that fashion that many points. You get one more. If there's a blowout again like that, Scott.
Dana, they're paying him $55 million to coach that team.
You get a blowout again like that, they're going to say bye. It is all of the distraction stuff, even if it's not.
So he's going to win the next two. So they'll be 2-1.
Okay.
And then he's very likely to lose the next two, according to ESPN this morning with their analytics and all that stuff.
It depends on who they're playing, of course.
Well, one of those teams is Clemson, which is ranked currently sixth.
And TCU is no team to sneeze at.
Clemson is currently 12th.
Okay, but did you see the signs the fans made?
No, what did it say?
So you remember their beach pictures where they went and practiced whatever you want to call that.
The dirty dancing lift.
Pushed her up on his feet and she looked like she was flying like a bird or whatever.
So gross.
So fans took that and put a silhouette of that image on a poster and put Air Jordan on the top.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Okay, because her name is Jordan.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the hero of the weekend was the Alabama kid with the middle finger. I laughed.
No, that was North Carolina.
No, it was not.
You're right.
It was Alabama.
It was Alabama. That's
Alabama,
right.
Alabama, Florida State.
I laughed.
You're right.
And laughed. What it was the ABC broadcast, and you can tell, okay, yes. Alabama's going to lose.
Yes.
And they go to the stands, and all the kids are going, oh, what just happened? And this one kid just with a deadpan look on his face, right at the camera, just flips the bird.
And did you guys see that Colorado has a porta potty on the sideline now?
No.
Yeah, for Deion Sanders. He made a joke about it in a press conference. We all know that he had stomach cancer, had a large portion of it, if not all of it, removed.
Was it stomach or was it?
Are you being serious?
Bladder.
They have a porta potty on
bladder
there
cancer.
For him.
Yeah, so he still has to stay hydrated, like a normal human being needs to stay hydrated. He just can't hold as much liquid as he used to be able to, and so he's got to go all the time. And so they put up a porta potty, which is basically just a tent with a bucket in it,
okay,
so that he can go and use the facilities mid game.
By the way, Alabama's loss to Florida State
was the first one.
Knocked them down 19 places in the rankings. They are now out of the top 25 for the first time in God knows how long.
First week one defeat in 24 years. So Flip the Bird, angry fan, wasn't even born the last time they lost in week one.
I'll be darned. Penn State, by the way, is number one this week. Georgia is number two. Ohio State remains at number three, even though they beat Texas.
Yeah, Arch Manning. What happened, buddy?
LSU is number four. Miami is five. K-State is 31.
Ooh, good.
Missouri is 35. KU is 39.
Big matchup coming up on Saturday.
This weekend.
2:30 in the afternoon.
Wait, who's playing who?
Missouri and KU.
In Columbia.
Which, by the way, if you have to travel on I-70 Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I would advise that you don't.
It is the first time in 14 years the teams have met in an official football matchup.
How long? How many years?
14 years in an official football. Since they had the Arrowhead thing they did. But
since Mizzou left for the SEC.
Somebody decided they were too good for the Big 12.
Wow.
Sorry, KU fans.
Everyone is all excited about this, and I still just roll my eyes, but I'll watch.
It's going to be a good game.
I can't wait. I'm assuming with the 2:30 start time, it's on national TV. That sounds like an ABC game to me.
I would be surprised if this particular matchup is not on national TV just because of the rivalry, but maybe that's my Midwest bias talking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're still calling it the border war, by the way. There was a big thing about that. Like, should we be calling it that?
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I'm just saying. They're still calling it that.
They called Mizzou, Arkansas, the border showdown. Because that's the new in.
You're supposed to call it the border showdown because it's not a war.
New in thing.
It's okay. We're all adults. We can figure this stuff out.
We're showing down.
I mean, we understand the difference
between. Are people offended by the word war?
We can understand the difference between a football game and Fallujah.
It went.
Okay.
Can we, Dan? Can we?
Very good, Dan. I think border war is fine. You know? I mean, when you hear the term the War of the Roses, do you think there's really a war and people are fighting over roses?
No.
Have you seen those roses?
Well, it does also harken back to the 1850s and the Jayhawkers and the Tigers and Bleeding Kansas and all of that.
And Quantrill's raid and sacking the Eldridge Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Grow up, America. I mean, the Sunflower Showdown. The Border Showdown. Who cares?
Okay. Conjoined twins Abby and Brittany Hensel have been seen in a now viral photo of the two of them with their
baby.
Newborn.
The first documented baby of conjoined twins.
From the New York Post. Baby makes three. Conjoined twins Abby and Brittany Hensel shared a TikTok on Saturday about the recent viral photos of them with a newborn baby. Well, is it theirs? I am asking.
I looked it up.
She was carrying it, right?
They were carrying it.
Yeah. I looked it up last Thursday, and according to the Googles, which, you know, Google can be wrong, this was post-alleged birth, since apparently there's a question now. And they said there have been zero documented births by conjoined twins. So that's why I said this would be the first documented if it's their baby.
What is there a theory that they adopted it?
Well, she just read a baby.
Brittany and Abby, the latter of whom is married to Josh Bowling. So Abby is married to Josh, were first photographed with the newborn baby in August a couple weeks ago. The photo shows the sisters putting a car seat into their car in their parking lot in Arden Hills, Minnesota.
Abby and what?
It's Abby and Brittany. It is Abby who is married to Josh Bowling.
Well, what happens when Brittany gets married to somebody?
Since then, the fifth grade teachers have been seen with the baby multiple times, including when they stopped at McDonald's before heading to work. The twins and Abby's husband have yet to confirm this. Help me understand this. The twins and Abby's husband have yet to confirm who the child is. What does that mean?
That there's probably rumors going around that it's not really their biological child.
They adopted or had a surrogate.
Yeah. Okay. The pair each, for those of you who are not familiar, the pair each has their own head, but they share a torso, organs, and one bloodstream.
They're basically, it is a human body with two heads.
Although they get upset when you describe it that way, but if you're going to have a descriptor, that is not entirely inaccurate. Brittany has control of their left arm and leg. Abby helms the right side.
Oh yeah, we've talked about this before.
That takes some coordination.
Sam?
Okay, now you step.
They have a baby, but you're saying they did not carry the baby.
I have no idea. I'm just going based off of the verbiage in the story that you're reading. Because typically, if it's their baby, they would say, yeah, they were first seen with their baby, not a baby.
Mm-hmm. It's unclear if the baby is actually theirs.
Biologically theirs.
Right. It's not been publicly confirmed, the parentage, or if they have the ability to carry the pregnancy. And I mean, we can all assume how that
would also have started. Wouldn't we have seen some stories about them being pregnant for 9 months?
And photographs of them being pregnant, yeah.
Yeah, the paparazzi would have been all over that.
Anybody else's head hurt?
Really? That's where you went?
We are not going to discuss this because that is personal, and
I wish them nothing but happiness.
I do too. I know people have questions, but that is their life, and good for them.
Would they both feel the birthing pain?
I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so. Sure.
It's one body. Yeah. So.
I mean, literally, I'm looking at a picture of them right now. It is one body with two heads.
Well, so one controls the left side, one controls the right side. How do the pain neurons work, I guess? Yeah, that's a great question, Scott.
It hurt everywhere, as I recall, Sam.
Okay. I'm not saying a word.
I know.
It's just going to get me in trouble. And I don't want to be in boss's office tomorrow. So I'm just going to shut up.
You know what? That is their life. They seem very happy their and
lives,
good for them.
It's their lives.
Their lives and good for them.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. Shut up, Dan. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Shut up. On Dana's camera bird feeder, there's been an eviction.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, there's something called an eviction, and I think if a little squirrel gets up there,
they get it yeeted.
Goes, get out! Or I don't know what happens exactly.
Well, it doesn't hurt them, does it?
I have to pay an extra $7.99 to see the eviction.
No,
that seems totally worth it.
Oh, that is totally worth it. How far does the squirrel go? I gotta see this.
Does it launch it? I gotta know.
Wait. How much does the app cost to begin with to watch birds?
Nothing.
It's free.
Yeah.
But if you want to see something get propelled through the air like
yeah,
a squirrel,
definitely.
Then you have to pay $7.99.
I believe so.
That's blood money.
It will also identify the birds for you. It will say, you know.
Similar to the Merlin app, which is free, or you can pay for it. And I don't really know what else you get on the Merlin app when you pay for it.
Ka-ka-ka!
Costco's controversial shopping policy took effect yesterday.
Oh, do tell.
Back in June, the grocery warehouse chain started allowing executive members into the store from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. during the week.
Okay.
Customers with other memberships had to wait until 10 a.m. to get into the store.
I told you this. I don't care if I thought the world was shutting down. I am not going to that place on a weekend ever again. You're taking your life into your own hands.
The company said the policy was not strictly enforced back in June, but now the grace period is over. If you do not have an executive membership at Costco, don't show up at 9 a.m. You ain't getting in.
I don't know which one we have. We haven't been back. I would go, but I will only go during the week.
Yes, I'd like 48 pounds of ground beef. You know, the peasants can come inside.
It's at 9:15 already.
What about your 75-pack of buns? Ooh, 76, I'll take it.
So what happened to you at a local grocery store over the weekend?
Oh, we have a fan, super fan.
Okay.
Person who loves the show. And Sam, we were walking out. We had just bagged our purchases. And
we call those groceries.
Walking toward the door.
As one would do at a grocery store. Yeah.
And
yeah,
a very nice, very excited woman came over and smacked me multiple times in the shoulder.
Oh.
And then pushed me.
Oh.
Pushed you.
As if to say, remember Elaine on Seinfeld when she would go, get out.
Yes.
I got Elained.
Oh.
And she wanted me to say hello. To you, Scott.
Hello, pusher.
And to you, Sam.
Hello, shover.
And I said, wow, that is a little aggressive, but I will pass it on that you are a Scott and Sam super fan.
Was she not a Dana fan?
I think she was. Well, I don't know. She was very...
Shoving you out of the door.
She was physically very excited.
She was... did you feel like you'd been assaulted?
I said, do you know Creed Humphrey? I feel like maybe you should... Yes.
Okay.
It was very exciting. She was very sweet. And then we walked out
did
and Johnny goes,
did she say anything?
What just happened? No, that was, yes, she did. She said, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you here doing your grocery shopping and love
maybe
the show. And
she's just touchy-feely, you know? That's very, how she shows her love.
Yet she was showing a lot of love, Sam. That is a good way to put it.
Huh. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani was injured in a vehicle accident on Saturday evening in New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
A source familiar with his condition telling ABC News that Giuliani is now out of the hospital and in good spirits. He remains in New Hampshire, though. He fractured his vertebrae, had multiple lacerations and contusions, as well as injuries to his left arm and lower... Wait a minute. Hang on, wait. To his left arm and lower leg. Aren't all legs lower?
The lower part of his leg.
I.e. below the knee.
Ah, got it. Before the incident, Giuliani was flagged down by a woman who was the victim of a domestic violence incident, and he and his security guard rendered assistance and contacted 911 for the woman. He remained on the scene until responding officers arrived to ensure her safety.
What does that have to do with you getting in a wreck?
It was just what they were doing before they got into the wreck.
Oh.
He and his security chief had pulled over to help a woman who apparently was the victim of domestic violence.
Did you hear that U.S. Olympic legend Greg Louganis has sold his Olympic medals?
Is he broke?
Because, quote, I needed the money to start a new life abroad. We've talked about this before. Being an Olympic athlete, there is no money in it unless your name is Michael Phelps or Simone Biles. Period. There's just not.
Even if your name is, what's her face, who got popped for DUI recently?
Mary Lou Retton. Mary Lou Retton. Had no health insurance. The diving icon, okay. 65, who is widely acclaimed as possibly the greatest diver in history, revealed that he, quote, needed the money from the sale of his house and medals to be able to start fresh overseas. Louganis won 5 Olympic medals between 1976 and 1988.
Well,
he revealed that he had bid adieu to the U.S. and relocated to Panama. As life moved forward, listen, I love this question. As life moves forward, what are you prepared to leave behind? We should all be asking ourselves that.
My CDs.
He wrote, I am 65 years old. And I am asking just that. I am no longer who I used to think I am, not even close to what other people or who other people think I am.
Now, I would make the argument that doesn't mean that being an Olympic superstar doesn't pay. It tells me that Greg Louganis doesn't know how to manage money.
No, not at all. There is no money in that, Scott.
But there's money in coaching.
Or public speaking.
The argument that I've made in the past is if you are disciplined enough to reach that level of success in a sport, why can't you hone that discipline into other activities? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, selling things.
You have to watch The Weight of Gold, Sam. I'm telling you, they're all broke. The retired athlete revealed that he sold 2 gold Olympic medals and 1 silver medal in an auction and got a combined...
$9.
You want to guess? Nope. Want to guess? 2 gold Olympic medals and 1 silver.
How much did they sell for?
Yep. Combined.
$50,000.
$437,000. He said that exceeded all of his expectations.
Clearly.
While also, many people may have built businesses and sold them for a profit, I had my medals, he said. He kept them, which I am grateful for, but I told the truth. I needed the money.
Didn't it come out that Mary Lou Retton was driving like a $120,000 Porsche and living in a $2 million home?
In West Virginia.
Something like that. She's America's sweetheart.
You're missing the point. She's driving a fancy car and living in a mansion.
But people think...
I wouldn't call that broke.
That just the money just keeps on coming. And one of the things I learned watching that documentary is the moment you come off that podium and you come off the Wheaties box, it's over. They're on to who's the next athlete on the Wheaties box.
But you're still a name and you can still coach or public speak or... You name it. I mean,
much money could there possibly be in running a gym? I'm not saying there's not money in it, but there's not millions and millions of dollars in it.
No, but I've gotten to know Taryn Humphrey over the last couple of years, who lives here in town.
Yeah.
She's a silver medalist twice, and she is making a living coaching.
She is.
She has her own gym.
But she would tell you she makes ends meet. She's not a millionaire either.
But if you have a kid that you think might be good at gymnastics— and they live here in Kansas City, and you think, man, there might be a future here.
Yeah.
Where are you taking that kid? You're going to Taryn Humphrey's gym.
Of course.
You know, you're not going to Pinnacle. No offense to Pinnacle. That's where my kids went. You get my point. That's a lot of tumbling, and that's what they do. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. It is time for your ADD anti-dum-dum word of the day. Sam, you have our word?
I do. By the way, I would like to say that I have been intentionally trying to use more and more of the words, and I properly used acnestis in a sentence yesterday.
Okay.
And Mary Beth looked at me like, excuse me, you're what?
And what is, I forget what acnestis is.
Remember, the acnestis is the part of the back, typically between the shoulder blades and the loins.
That you can't reach.
That you cannot reach or scratch. And man, when that thing itches, it does not stop. But your word today.
Okay.
And you may already know this one, so I'm sorry. Anachronism.
Ooh, I do know that word. Anachronism.
Would you like for me to use it in a sentence?
It is the stubbing of a toe. You have an anachronism.
No. Good guess, though. It's of Greek origin, by the way.
Of course.
Originally appeared in the 17th century. It's pretty level popularity over the last...
How do they know when words originally appear anywhere?
In writing.
Okay. All right.
I don't think anybody was walking around back then saying, well, that's one tally for anachronism.
Just heard it.
Now we're up to two.
Okay. Use it in a sentence, please.
Scott, you often mention how I am 90 years old in my mind, stuck in a 27-year-old's, 28-year-old's, how old am I, body. You could say that I am an anachronism.
You are something that you are really not.
No.
Okay.
An anachronism is a thing belonging or appropriate to a period other than the one in which it exists.
Say it again.
A thing belonging or appropriate to a period other than the one in which it exists.
Okay.
Anachronism.
Got it. If you're planning a trip to Chicken and Pickle today, you might as well turn the car around. Doors are locked. Chairs are empty. Courts are empty.
Oh, yeah. I fell for this clickbait.
This is from Fox 4.
I know, but I fell for it.
Across the country today, 2,000 employees from each Chicken and Pickle location will be trading in their serving trays and chef's hats for charity, volunteering their time at local food banks, animal shelters, cleanup events, youth programs. It is the 6th annual Our Hearts, Our Local Day.
Love it.
The company-wide tradition aims to strengthen the community through service. So employees will be at, among other places, Happy Bottoms.
Oh, good.
New House, the Children's Place, the Kansas City Zoo, Operation Breakthrough.
Good.
Wayside Waifs, Deanna Rose, and the Golden Scoop.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Are you ready for a three-day weekend, even though you just had one?
Yes.
7 in 10 workers feel they could be just as productive in a four-day work week, according to new research. In light of yesterday being Labor Day, a new survey of 2,000 Americans examining lifestyle factors, attitudes to work, and social life balance found that 70% of employed respondents think they could do their job in 32 hours a week. However, more than a quarter, 29%, disagreed that this would be the case, and 3% declined to vote because they're too dumb.
Yeah.
The survey found that millennials as a generation most likely would support a four-day work week, 75% of millennials.
Lazy bones.
Gen Z, slightly less enthused at 70%, and Gen X also at 70%.
Would you rather have Monday off or Friday?
Friday.
Sam?
Ooh.
Right?
I mean, I would say Friday, and my instinct wants me to say Monday because Mondays are the worst, but if you have Monday off, now
Tuesday is your Monday.
So, yeah, let's go with Friday.
The boomers who are still employed.
Yeah.
And that number is becoming smaller and smaller. Only 48% of them said they would support a four-day work week. Who wouldn't? I mean,
business owners.
Okay.
Basically every small business owner. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. But if you work for someone else, how could you possibly say, you know, I still like that extra day of work?
Right.
Now,
I just love it.
For some people, they just couldn't get through. And I know you had mentioned only a 32-hour work week, but let's be honest, we're the United States. So if we went to a four-day work week, it would be 4 tens, right?
Probably.
They're not going to let you get away with only working 32 hours a week.
Right.
there are some people out there who would say, I can't work 10 hours a day. That's too many. I'm asleep for 8 of them. That only leaves me.
Oh, I thought you meant just 8 hours a day, just times 4.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Instead of 10, 4. Yeah, because they're in television, people worked 4 10s and loved it.
Yeah.
But you know what's better than 4 10s? 4 8s.
Yeah, it is.
You know what's better than 4 8s? 5 4s.
3 2s?
5 4s. Nice. 4 1/2.
Yeah, man. Maybe. There is a little show prep that goes into putting this on. But I, honest to God, I know this is a running joke. You guys only work 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. There's more to it than that. And that's technically not true. I think I worked 5 hours today before the end of the show.
Yeah.
So 4 hours a show, 1 hour show prep at the house. And then I did come in and gossip for an hour before the show with everybody in the newsroom.
Well, were you here?
I was here. Yeah.
All right. Can we talk about the 5-year-old that got in trouble because he walked to Chick-fil-A?
I love this story.
A hungry 5-year-old. Knows he's in trouble and, yes, was in trouble, but he thought he was, quote, going to jail after he sneaked out of his house.
Are you going to get me in jail?
No, I'm not going to put you in jail.
Aww.
And starts walking to Chick-fil-A. Now, another dad, a dad, again, that does not belong to this kid, sees this kid and is like, what are you doing, buddy?
So he's just walking the street?
Just walking. And the little boy's like, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. So you can tell because this guy's a dad, he's like filming it because he's like, I am not kidnapping this child that does not belong to me, but this child is by himself and clearly needs somebody keeping an eye on him.
So Chick-fil-A, the employees there, first of all, served him up a delicious breakfast. That's what he wanted. So good on them for doing that.
Did he have any money?
No.
No!
Well, don't act like that's a dumb question.
And then called the police because they're like, what do we do? We've got a 5-year-old here with no parents, obviously no money to pay for the food we just gave him. And so the cops come and they have a fantastic time driving around looking for this kid's house. He can't tell them where he lives, despite the fact that he's walked to and from Chick-fil-A many times.
Yeah.
All he can tell them is
what
that
do you mean, many times.
Well, his parents later say we walked to Chick-fil-A quite a bit.
Oh, like, okay.
That's so how he knows how to get
there. That's how he knows how to get there. But he just left the house on his own accord.
But if he knew how to get to Chick-fil-A, he doesn't know how to get home?
No, he's 5. And I think then he realized probably, uh-oh, I've got that feeling in my stomach that maybe I'm doing something I shouldn't.
Right.
And then, do you have the whole video, Sam?
It's like 3 minutes long, but it's adorable.
It is so funny.
Play just a little bit
and
more.
And he's fine. I mean, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God.
We arrived on scene.
Hello.
Hello.
And as we walked in, we see a little kid sitting at the table eating his breakfast with one of the managers.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, look at that.
We asked where he came from, and he kept saying he walked to Chick-fil-A.
You know where your house is, right, honey?
It's right across the street, right over there.
Okay, cool.
I have children, and, you know, the first thing, you know, you get that knot in your stomach because, you know, somebody else who's a parent is missing their child.
Are you going to show us where you live?
Yeah.
Okay. We gathered him up.
Look at that. Say thank you.
Here's a cow for you.
I walked him to the back of my patrol car.
Are you going to get me in jail?
No, I'm not going to put you in jail.
And we started checking the area.
All right, buddy, where's your house at?
We were wondering, where did this child come from?
Is it right here?
None of these doors are open. None of these garages are open.
I don't live in a duck pond.
So then he explained that he had a white fence.
That's where it is.
Right here?
Yeah.
That's where it is.
We pulled up in the driveway. And then we realized that the call box wasn't working. We had no way to get through the gate.
How about this? My initial thoughts were, I can't believe he came out of here. It's the most secure house on that block in reference to having a fence all the way around, front, back, sides.
Police.
I'm Phil.
I'm Victoria.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, do you have a son named Lee?
Listen, do you have a son?
Yeah, a little boy?
Yeah.
Our 5-year-old William had an adventure a few weeks ago, and we live nearby very close.
Yeah, he was down at the Chick-fil-A.
Are you kidding me?
No, we have him in our police car. You want to come get him?
You could just see the look on his face.
Scott, it'd be for any didn't even realize he was gone. You hear the police say to mom and dad,
isn't that a little concerning?
Is your son so-and-so? And they go, yeah. And they go, you have a little boy. And they go, yeah.
So this was very early in the morning. Later in the interview, the mom talks about how they weren't even up yet. Like, she's in her robe.
They still were still in her pajamas. In bed.
Yeah.
But can you imagine police knock on your door? Do you have a child? Yeah. His name's so-and-so. Yeah.
He was down at the Chick-fil-A having breakfast.
He's
with the
in
manager.
Our squad car. And then there's just silence. And you can see the mom and dad like, wait.
Like the color leaves their face, of course.
Is he in trouble?
Didn't he say, are you joking? When the officer says, whatever, one of the parents replies like, wait, what?
Yeah, because they thought that he was in his bed asleep still.
And
what do you mean? Then the mom goes, well, we walk there all the time. He knows how to get there.
Oh, my gosh. You would just.
Okay. 913-586-7798. Yeah, yeah. Am I going to jail? No, nobody.
Nobody.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. In America's popular tourist destinations is a common problem, from the mystery trash-dumping criminal in the Redwoods who recently sparked a manhunt to Grand Teton's battle against poop on the trails. An alarming number of the country's most beautiful spaces have a dirty side that many people don't even know exists. Now, that is exactly the case at most of the nation's beaches, many of which are being frequented by frolicking Labor Day beachgoers over this past weekend. Thousands of Americans are taking what might be their final dip of the year in the sea over the Labor Day weekend, okay? Which just passed, of course. However, a number of beaches are under advisories warning against swimming. Why? Not because of big waves. Unsafe levels of fecal contamination.
And yes, the brain-eating amoeba.
Yes, bacteria from human poop documented at the majority of America's beaches. Apparently, we are dumping sewage into the ocean.
Ridiculously high rates.
Why?
Because
yes.
It's cheaper than treating it.
But the ocean is now filled with poop.
Oh yeah. Uh huh. Well, I mean, it was already filled with poop. That's their argument.
Yeah.
Fish poop.
Okay.
There is a hilarious TikTok or reel, whichever you're on, of an influencer. I can't remember what country she's in, but she's bragging about how beautiful the water is in a spillway that she's swimming in. And locals are like, that's a sewage runoff. You're swimming in.
Here we go. The percentage of beaches that exceed safe contamination levels. West Coast beaches, 79%. 79%. East Coast, 54%. Great Lake beaches, 71%. Gulf Coast beaches, 84%. Alaska and Hawaii, 10%.
I've always said I love being in the water, but I ain't putting my head under the water. No way.
But why? And Sam, I understand your point. It might be cost effective to just dump sewage into the ocean, but that's disgusting.
I mean, that's what all of those coastal towns do, and they do it here if there's a town on a lake or a river.
Like Lake of the Ozarks, they just dump the sewage in? I know the joke writes itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of homes that are piped directly into that lake.
Okay.
That is not a joke. That's why when it's a really, really hot summer with no rain, there's aggressive do not swim advisories.
Okay. Did you hear about the woman? The story's in the stack somewhere. She was hurt. She was swimming at the Lake of the Ozarks, and a boat accidentally backed up over her on Saturday.
It was a pontoon boat. I saw that. Yeah.
She's still alive, thank God. But she was seriously injured over the weekend. She was swimming in the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yep.
Which I don't know why you would even touch that water.
Well, people do.
It's gross.
And people do. And Scott, the Lake of the Ozarks is packed.
Oh, I know.
And it is packed. Even if you have the best intentions,
right,
and you are good at what you do, you are good at boating, it is so packed with people who aren't or who don't know what they're doing.
Or who are drunk.
Oh, it scares me to death.
And not paying attention.
Oh, I would be screaming my head off if a boat started backing up toward me. But to your point, if they've got music and aren't paying attention
and
are
been
drunk,
drinking, yeah,
they're not going to hear you screaming.
Well, okay, here it is. Yeah. She was hit by the propellers and seriously injured, airlifted to Columbia, Missouri for treatment. Uh-huh. Okay, a 22-year-old from Omaha tried to put the pontoon boat into neutral, but accidentally put it in reverse.
God.
Oof. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in about 2 minutes. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we will see you after the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.